It's never a good sign when somebody brings water, because then we're going to be here a long time. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm drying out, so I know I won't have a chance to. My cousin asked me the other day, he says, are you going to be nervous when you preach tomorrow? I said, no, not at all. But somehow my hands are shaking. I don't know what that's from, but. Well, this week when felt led to speak this morning, what came into my head was opportunities. And I want to give everybody an opportunity this morning. If you want to just say hi to your neighbor beside you, I heard about edifying this morning, so let's take just 2 seconds to go ahead and greet yourself with your neighbor. Say hi if you know him, whatever, but edify each other this morning. Just trying to wake you up too. So. All right, time's up. Got to make this quick. All right, well, my name is Chad Capella from Union City, Pennsylvania. And I promised Riney that I would come here and preach after he made us this beautiful wooden stand. And last time I was here, I saw this beautiful wooden stand that he carved out. And I'm just, that is awesome. And we need something like that in Union City. Something big, you know, we can put our things on. So he went ahead and did that for us, and that was an awesome thing. And I think I might have to maybe schedule myself for maybe 10 more sermons here so I can get you to build some more things around my house too. That was great. And I'm not kidding. All the Bible class teachers, thank you for having a wide something to put our stuff on. So
you're welcome to come.
Okay. Anyways, opportunities. Some of you have been to college, some of you have been in tech school, some of you might have even studied under a job like a foreman or something. And when I was in college, I went to Penn State for 5 years for landscape architecture. And it's, you know, 5 years I think is a pretty long time. And probably halfway in between, you're like, you know what, I'm kind of just sick of just learning. You know, I kind of just want to go out there and do it. Do you ever get that feeling where you just, you know, you see somebody do a job, or say you're under a foreman or something at your work, or a manager, and you know that you're going to be taking over or you're studying under them, and you just want to do it already. You've seen enough. You have your own idea of what you want to do. You just want to go ahead and do it. And I was thinking about that. You know, there's a couple times in my studies that I wanted to just go ahead and do it. I'm sick of just being on the sidelines. I need to be active and have some action. So that's what led me this morning to go to our text in Luke 10. And before I read that, I'll just have a short prayer. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, just want to ask you right now to inspire us as we read this text and we share a few minutes together looking at it and just hashing it out. And we hope that it'll speak to us, Lord, in the few minutes that we have, that it'll inspire us to change our lives, to take some steps to be closer to you and closer to the plan that you have for us, your message for us this morning. Amen. I'm going to read it out of the ESV. I didn't have it printed out here. Luke 10, 25 through 37. There's an opportunity to be had here. There's three times of an opportunity. Some took it, or I should say only one took the opportunity, and the other two didn't. So let's go ahead and read. Jesus is talking with a group of people. There's this guy that knows his stuff. Been going to college or, you know, 5 years, whatever, I don't know. But he knows his stuff. And he's asking Jesus, you know, what do I need to do for eternal life? So he's at this point, like I felt when I was in school. It's like, I want to do something, make sure I'm doing this right. And almost like justifying myself. Like, I want to, you know, I think I'm doing the right thing, and I think I have it all together, Jesus. I just want you to tell me almost that I have it all together, almost. Anyways, this guy's a lawyer. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But desiring to justify himself, he said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? I want you to pay attention to that. He asked the question, and who is my neighbor? He actually asked the wrong question. So, and Jesus will tell us actually the question he should have asked later in the story. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. The guy asked the question, who is my neighbor? When he should have been asking, how do I love my neighbor? That's the question you should have asked. It wasn't, and if you, some of the commentaries, you have commentaries, they'll point that out to you. You know, Jesus never told him, who your neighbor is. He said, how to love a neighbor. That's what he showed him. I think Jesus was disappointed. You know, who my neighbor? That's pretty shallow, man. That's pretty biased. That's pretty stereotype. I think Jesus is like, you're not getting this. So he actually kind of answered his question within a story by showing these different types of people and who these people were willing to associate with. But anyways, to start at the beginning, when I talked about being in that college for 5 years, that was a bunch of head knowledge. And I want to talk about that this morning, head knowledge and good intentions. Many of us in this room have been Christians for a while. Many of us have studied. There's a bunch of us in here that are passionate about the Word of God, you know, searching the Scriptures. Some of us are really interested in some of the, like the end time stuff and searching the end time, you know, Scriptures and Revelations to get a special blessing, which it says, you know, those who study that. We come to church possibly every Sunday. We maybe study our Bible class lessons and we participate and we know what to say in those classes. And it's not that we're not sincere. We are sincere and we have good ideas and we've been studying and the Spirit's been speaking to us and we could participate in those classes. But I can't help but feeling that that we miss the opportunities to let that knowledge pour out of us to people. I think that's where maybe a lot of us suffer in. We have the knowledge, we have the desire to do it, but we miss the opportunities. Jesus gives us opportunities to show this knowledge, to put this knowledge into action. And I don't know how sometimes we miss it because we're busy. Sometimes we miss it because we're not willing to associate with a certain type of people. Sometimes our passions take over and it's out of maybe we have an anger or we're just frustrated and we don't show God's message to people and we're more evasive and we get upset and stuff. Sometimes that gets in the way. But for some reason, I feel sometimes that we have a really abundant head knowledge. We can recite the books of the Bible backwards, up and down. We have our kids. I see a lot of our kids come up. They're doing a great job learning memory verses. We know these memory verses, and we can just spit this stuff out. But when it comes to a simple act of showing it, we can't do it. And that's what I felt led to talk about this morning. Not only that, we still have to feel justified, though. You see, we still have to feel justified. Like, if we're not doing the action, then we still got to feel like we're right with God. So we're like that lawyer, and you know, we stick with the easy stuff. Hey, God, what do I do to have eternal life? Because I know the answer already. And then after I say it, you're going to say good, and then I feel good, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. When I'm in Bible class or I'm at camp and I say, yeah, I know all the fruits of the Spirit, and I know these things, and this is what I'm supposed to do, and we feel good. We did our study, and we feel good. But when that little opportunity to show mercy, that's one of my hardest ones is showing mercy. And you just get, showing mercy, man, it's hard to do. And even in our lesson today, it says, the guy who showed mercy. Mercy is hard to show. And I get many opportunities to do that. And I choose not to. The lawyer seeks to justify himself. He answered correctly. But if you notice, Jesus says, you answered correctly, do this. Do this. You answered correctly. You're good. Do this, though. You're missing out on this part. And he says, well, who is my neighbor? But the question should have been, okay, Christ, well, how do I love my neighbor? What do you mean? How do I love my neighbor? That should have been it. It shouldn't have been, okay, I'm only going to want to show to this guy. I only have enough to show, like, who's my neighbor? I hope you don't say everybody, you know, I hope it's just, no, it is everybody, really, who comes, you know, Christ decides to bring into your path. Luke 10:36 says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? And it was that mercy. God wants us to do something about it. Don't keep it in the head. Do something about this love. Use it. And I just can't help but think sometimes that we try to justify ourselves, make ourselves feel good by the knowledge that we know. But, you know, if we would be doing this and putting it into action, we would see the Spirit working in people's lives. And that's the stuff that you can't put a price to. When you share the Word of God with someone, you witness with them, and they get comfort and relief. They are able to get rid of that guilt that they have within them. Or you help somebody in need, just as simple as that, and just relieving a burden. That's something that is priceless. That's something that really feels like you're close with Christ and you're doing His will. But when you're missing that, then you got to justify yourself. It's just natural for us to, we don't want to be at the bottom of the pole. We don't want Jesus to say you're not good. And we justify, sometimes I think we justify just by making sure that we know the answers and that we can spew them out. Well, let's talk about the opportunity a little bit. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Evan Almighty. Evan Almighty's guy, this guy like grows a beard and stuff, and he's like Noah. And he's like a Noah in the modern day. Well, there's a line from that because, you know, Morgan Freeman plays God in that movie. And there's a lady, her name is Lauren Graham, and she plays Joan Baxter. And this is the best part of the whole movie right here. One of the best parts, but I think it's the best part. And Joan is questioning what her husband's doing. And God shows up at this diner and serves her, and she doesn't know it, but has this conversation with her. And this is how it goes. Morgan Freeman is God, and he says, if someone prays for patience, do you think God gives them patience, or does He give them an opportunity to be patient? If they pray for courage, does He give them courage or an opportunity to be courageous? If someone prays for family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with a warm, fuzzy feelings, or does He give them opportunities to love each other? And that just, when I saw that, that's like, this is a good movie. That is awesome. Because when I pray for mercy or to be courage or bold or to sing or to whatever it is, does God give me just that right away? No, God's not like that. Give me a break. He's the creator of the universe. He likes projects. He likes to see people build up, and He doesn't just make things. Otherwise, He would just made us to be worshipers, and we would just automatically do it. He gives us opportunities to do these things, and that's where we have to engage. You know, I don't have this all together myself. This is something huge I'm working on too. It's just not to miss these opportunities. Even as like some of you the guys that are pastors out there, it's easy to get stuck in the Word of God and just crank it out and make sure that you have a message for everybody every week or that you have the right answers, whatever it is. And it's easy to miss the real opportunities of just this little stuff that happens in your own life. And, you know, if anybody's teachers or any of that kind of stuff where you're always concentrating on that, it's easy to miss those opportunities. And you could be preaching about mercy, and the day before you could be just dealing out, bruh, you know, and this is the way it is. And that's why it speaks to me a lot. But anyway, I want to consider these people because they're similar, the priests. The priest is, a priest back then would have to make these routes. They'd have to go to Jerusalem. They'd have to do these, you know, lots of busy stuff. Lots of, you know, I got to go do this, and then my next thing on the list, I'm supposed to do this. So that's, you know, that's why they meet this guy on the road, because they're going to Jerusalem, whatever. And, you know, God wants me to do these things and this thing. But what God really wants me to do is, you know, this person's dying on the side of the road. Don't you think that might be important on the list? No, somehow I can justify me not helping that person because God wants me to, you know, preach on this Sunday or go light that candle in the temple or whatever, and that's more important. Somehow they justify themselves. They didn't stop. A Levite, the same thing. He's not a priest, but he helps the priests. He's an assistant, you know. And so he, you know, same thing. You know, I've got better things to do. I've got more important things to do. And he misses the guy. But the Samaritan... And you might, some of you might know the background of Samaritans, but I found this in my commentary. It says they were a racially mixed society with Jewish and pagan ancestry. Although they worshipped God or Yahweh, as did the Jews, their religion was not mainstream Judaism. They accepted only the first five books of the Bible. And they worshipped on the Mount Gerizim instead of Jerusalem. Mount Zion, Jerusalem. But the main point is that it was culturally unthinkable for a Samaritan to help out that guy. Unthinkable. Never would have came into that lawyer's mind that a Samaritan would be the one who stopped. You just don't do that kind of thing. You don't associate with Samaritans. But Christ answered his question and pointed him to the right question. One big story. He says, I'm going to give you the extreme example right here. The Samaritan is going to shame them other guys who probably shouldn't even really know the right way to go. He's all screwed up with all these extra things that are in their religion. But he did the right. He's the one that actually did the right thing. And he showed mercy. Consider those people. Sometimes I like to put our modern day things to it. Maybe, you know, pastors, maybe you are the priests and maybe like Sunday school teachers and deacons or whatever, or maybe Levites and maybe whatever, because we are people that have a mission and we're doing things, and God wants us to do what we have a mission for, but he doesn't want us to do it at the expense of the other opportunities that should be just a no-brainer. That's what we're getting at. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here, and these are my final thoughts that I was thinking about. The two main points are, it is not good enough to just know the Bible. It is not good enough to know the Bible. You must also take action with the opportunities that God gives. He wants us to have experience. One other thing that comes to mind, because I saw this on TV after, there was an accident, well, I don't know if it was an accident or not, but there was a helicopter shot down with a SEAL team in it. Did you guys hear about that? A copter that was shot down. I can't remember if it was Pakistan or Afghanistan. But they were shot down, and this was one of the cream of the crops of our fighting guys. And then after that, they put on a special on the Discovery Channel. They called it SEAL Team 6. I don't know if you guys seen that or not. SEAL Team 6. And that's, you shouldn't even know about SEAL Team 6. Somebody screwed up. SEAL Team 6, when they start naming teams, that's our elite of the elites. And they were saying to be on SEAL Team 6 or SEAL Team whatever, they won't even, I mean, not only do you have to be a SEAL, which is very hard to do, but you have to have significant combat experience. Because when they're going to do a specific job that is very important and nobody's supposed to know about it and it's got to go out with a hitch, they need guys that have been there and have done it and that got dirty. And I was thinking about that. Man, I want to be on SEAL Team 6 in Christ's Army. I want to be on SEAL Team 6 doing this stuff because that is where, you know, that you got to have experience. I don't want to be in Harvard University because that's what they said. They go, most of these guys on SEAL Team 6 are smarter than those that are in Harvard University because not only do they have the brains, but they also have the experience and they know how to do it in the field. And that's what was amazing. Most of the guys on there are even not only good at what they do, but they are smart and everything. And they're just very engineer, you know, they know all the engineering. They have to do those things on the spot like that. They got to create things in the midst of their problems that they have while they're on their missions. And I want to be a part of, I want to be like that. And I realize that the key is action. The key is experience. And all it takes is just taking that one little simple verse in your Sunday school that you learn, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God loves the world, so therefore I must love the world also. And if I just take that simple verse, and then when somebody is in need of God's love, and I just show that, then I just put it into action. Simple as that. I don't need a commentary to tell me that. I don't need to study the first six books of the Bible and who wrote them and all that stuff to know that. I just need to do it. Simple as that. And that's what I think God is telling us this morning. And then the second thing is, when you take that action, there's no bias involved. There's no bias involved. They stink, they stink. They're a different color, they're a different color. They're different, you know, they only have this much money or whatever, then they don't have this much money. If they have a potty mouth and they're swearing all the time, so be it. There's no bias in this kind of stuff. And that's what I think floored the lawyer, because he was seen to be the elite, but yet he didn't do it. He wasn't putting it into action. So let's pray together, and then we'll have the choristers come back up. Lord, we looked into your word this morning briefly, and you know, I pray that you will seal that word into our hearts. We'll take it seriously. I'm sure as soon as this program's done and as soon as we leave this building, probably we're going to be tested with something simple. And hopefully, Lord, we don't fail. It will happen. As soon as we leave this building, there'll be a time to put in action. And I hope, Lord, we don't miss it. An opportunity. Lord, we have a lot of knowledge. You have blessed this church. You have blessed a lot of these Christians in this room with a lot of knowledge, great learning, great solid knowledge. But Lord, we want great solid action too. We want to be on your SEAL Team 6. Lord, seal this into our hearts. Make us be passionate about it. Make us want to look for those opportunities, not be sidetracked. Amen.